for some reason it seems much, much longer. I haven't seen, I feel like I have not seen you for a very long time, but Sylvia Kent is back in the studio. Sylvia is a local writer, freelance columnist, author. She's contributed to national and regional magazines and online journals. Many of the books have been reprinted and are sold in Waterstones, Sainsbury's, WH Smith, Amazon, Essex Folklore, Help Channel 5, Film County Secrets. And she has a new book out. It's the 10th book about Barking and Dagenham from old photographs, which is now on sale, which we're going to be talking about in a little while as well. And we're also joined by a guest writer this month, Karen Bowman, who's the writer of Essex Girls and Essex Boys. And as I mentioned earlier, you can find out more about Karen, all the W's, karenbowman.co.uk, and we'll be talking to Karen about her books as well. So, lovely to see you.
Good morning. What a lead in.
That wasn't it. And very quick.
I didn't even see you.
Bought you some jam.
I know you bought me some. This is going to be gone. Every time Sylvia comes in, I always get a gift, and it's apricot. Yeah. Apricot Sylvia, it's called. Very lovely. I will enjoy that as
colour
I do the best.
My eyes.
So how have you been? I feel like I haven't seen you for ages.
Well. No, it's a month.
Is it a month?
Yes. I brought lovely Mary Kenyon in last time.
Yeah.
The Secret Spy.
And we're hoping to get that full interview up. I had a slight technical issue which has now been resolved, so I can actually get that interview up, because she's 93
something,
or something.
Yes.
Absolutely, the stories, I mean, she was with us for about 40 minutes just talking.
Yes.
About the Enigma Code. Yes. And all sorts. Yes. Of things. Very interesting.
She
lady
loved it.
Yeah.
And all her family are really looking forward to listening. So.
She's absolutely lovely. Yeah. Guest. She really was. Yeah. Her voice as well. She's got a very her voice is just so plush.
Oh,
and
yes,
made for radio.
Wonderful.
And yes. 94 or whatever she is. Yes. She's as sharp as a pin.
Yes.
Wouldn't cross her.
Sharper than me.
Now, you've got your book. Before we talk about your book, your 10th book, which I can't believe, Barking and Dagenham from Old Photographs.
Yes.
Which is now on sale.
Yes.
You're part of a readers group as well.
Yes,
besides
in
doing
Billericay.
In Billericay. So what have you been reading, and what books
very
would you recommend?
Keen group. I don't always finish the books. They know that when I'm working on my own books, I don't get time to read.
Yeah.
But the last books we were looking at were Wives of the East Wind by Liu Hong. So she's from China, I think.
Yep.
But I don't know what the others have think about that. I haven't had a chance to read that. But the next one, The Marriage Bureau for Rich People.
Mm.
Aha, now you'd like that, wouldn't you?
What are you trying to say?
And the author is Farahed Zama.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one that I'll be reading. But when you're writing books, and I know my friend sitting next to me will agree, you're so busy trying to get your words onto the page that to read others, it's very, very difficult, on top of everything else.
Yeah.
You know, the living. But as I say, you're usually fighting deadlines.
Yep.
So to read other people's books, it's very difficult.
Mm.
So I've been really tied up. And yes, the book is out. Although
talk about the book now, actually? You've got your 10th book.
Yes, and that's the last. I did say that last time, didn't I?
No, you didn't.
It takes a lot of work.
Yeah.
This one's more or less 2 years. I know that Karen has spent ages on her books, far longer, but then her books are very, very, well, they're bigger books, are they not, madam?
Yes. Slightly, yes.
Slightly. It's about 5 years.
The first one took 10 from the conception to the, but then I didn't think it was going to become a book. But then when it did, it obviously came out. The second one took 2 years, and the last one's taken a year. Yeah.
So if we go back, we'll talk to Karen, and then we'll come back to you about your book. She seems very shy about talking about her book, doesn't she? Not like Sylvia, very shy. We'll get back to you, Sylvia.
I've got a PR background.
She's building it up there.
Yeah.
Karen, you are our guest writer, Karen Bowman. That's Bowman, writer of Essex Girls and Essex Boys. But before you think, oh, Essex Girls and Essex Boys, and you get an image of Towie in your head, it's not actually, it's not about that.
No,
tell us, before you actually tell us about the books, how did you start writing? You said you've only been writing for a short amount of time. When did you actually start, maybe at school, with short stories before you turned professional?
Yeah, I mean, like everybody that loves to write, you know, you have to write something. And then around about 95, I actually joined a writing group in the evening, How to Get Published, by Marion Howe, who's a wonderful tutor.
Yeah.
And it sort of went from there. I ended up writing articles. And as I was writing articles, I found I was collecting things everywhere I went, into churches or, you know, just anywhere. And gradually I thought, there's a lot of women here, and as you say, it's not. I was so incensed by the TOWIE, by the TOWIE thing. I thought, oh no, 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 no. I've got to sort of bring these women together, and so the book can go into schools, maybe, and then we can get a different angle on real Essex women.
Yeah. You know,
gutsy, loyal, proper Essex women.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think most people would feel the same way. Actually, we might not say. Do you feel the same way, Jess?
Yeah.
Yeah, Jess is 15. She feels exactly the same way as well. So you started off writing, obviously, you did the short stories. What writers did you grow up reading that you enjoyed?
Well, the books that I enjoyed reading?
Yeah.
Oh, the usual. I started off with Enid Blyton. I remember one Cornish holiday, and I had some pocket money, and we went to the local store, and I bought one, and I read it the whole time. And it was just... the thought that you can put something down and someone else can read it, and you can inspire other people by what you write, which does take a while for you to cotton onto when you've done it, because you think, oh, I've written a book and no one's going to read it. Who really wants to listen to what I've got to say? But gradually you realise, and the feedback comes, and you realise that, you know, if you have got something to say and you can get it on paper, it's a wonderful feeling.
And is there a formula? I'm a musician, and I think with songwriting, the more you do, the better you get, and then you sort of go into a bit of a formula when you write songs. They're all different, like books are all different, but do you get the same thing with writing?
Yes, I mean, the first one was wonderful to write, but it was a mushmash. I mean, absolutely no rhythm to do it, not no sort of formula at all.
Yeah.
The second one, you try and better that, and the third one, I think I've got it, and the fourth one will be better still. So yes, you do. But I'm a chaotic writer. It still gets on the page.
Yeah.
But it's not a 9 to 5. It's a if and when. It's a get up in the night and do it. Do it early morning, late at night. When it sort of grabs you, you have to put it down. Otherwise, it's like an idea is like a bubble, and it will burst and it will go, and you'll never get it back. It's no good having a thought before you go to bed and think, I'll do it in the morning.
Yeah.
You've got to get up and go down and write it there and then.
Yeah.
And that's always worked for me.
Do you have like one of those you don't speak into your phone and do little messages to yourself about
no,
ideas?
I'm not terribly techie. I have to do it longhand. I have to sort of write it either in the dark next to the bed,
or it's written all over the cupboard.
Yeah, or my husband, one of the two. You know, it's he wakes up and he's got half a book on his face. No, I'm not terribly phony-fied, I'm afraid.
Right. Tell us about the books then. So if you go to the website, all the W's, karenbowman.co.uk, which is the great website. You can find out more about Karen as well. But tell us a little bit about the books.
Well, as you say, Essex Girls came first, and I used to work in a school, in the library, and, you know, the girls would come up to me and say, we've got to do a project, and there's nothing out there. The boys could do a project on a sportsman or something like that, and I thought, these women need to be sort of brought together, put under an umbrella. And again, it was to get the proper Essex girl, the girl that's the same as everybody else, because as Sylvia knows, people are embarrassed to say they're from Essex. So I thought I'd put that together, and luckily that came out. I've about 40 biographies in there of different women, all sorts of women. We've got royal women in Essex, we've got wives, wantons, courage and endeavour women of, warrior women, romantic Essex girls, Essex girls in fiction, that sort of thing. So there's quite a widespread range there.
And which ones, without sort of, you want people to buy the book, but which ones for you, or maybe two that you can pick out, maybe just to tell us a little bit about, that actually stood out for you the most?
Well, my favourite has to be Hannah Lake, and she comes from North Benfleet, which is close to where I am in Rayleigh.
Yep.
And I just loved her because she was an ordinary girl. She went to America in 1635 when she was 15 with her mother, not her father. Her mother had left her father, which was quite extraordinary.
Yep.
And they went over as part of the sort of the Mayflower, the great emigration at the time. And she married a young man, an Indian fighter. She had 10 children over her lifetime. They went from Massachusetts to Connecticut on the Mystic River. And she obviously had to have courage, because she had to defend the homestead when her husband was hunting. So she had to learn how to use a musket, fight the Indians, and keep her cattle away from the wolves that were marauding around at the time.
Yeah.
And when she died, she was quite a rich woman, and she is an ancestor of George Bush. So inspired me. It's like going to the moon today. If you, you know, you just, from here to America, it takes us, 12 hours?
Yeah.
But in those days, it was 3 months, and it was such an expedition.
Yeah.
So she was somebody that really... really inspired me. And then there's lots, but another woman I do like, again from my neck of the woods, is Carolina Brunswick. She sort of put Southend on the map. She was a bit of a, well, she wasn't a bit of a flirt, she was horrendous actually. And her husband wanted to get shot of her, but he couldn't. But he did set up this delicate investigation, as he called it, and he tried to get as much information as he could on her to discredit her. And I did find a lovely document in the National Archives that had her in the Royal Terrace in Southend-on-Sea. She was in number 7. He was in number 9, this particular man called Captain Manby, who had come ashore from the Nore. He had his ship moored there, and he came over for an assignation. And one of the servants said that she saw him going from number 7 through number 8, they had adjoining doors, to number 9. And in the morning, there was evidence of him being there overnight. So, and I just thought that was... that was a, sort of an insight into how things were in those days. And so she tended to put Southend Sea on the map, which needs putting on the map.
Yeah.
We need something good, yeah.
Right, we'll come more back, because we've obviously got the Essex Boys to talk about as well. Don't forget, if you want to get the copy, you can buy, obviously, copies of the books from your website, and they out in the bookshops as well?
Yes, yes, on Amazon and in Waterstones and all good bookshops, yeah.
On Kindle as well?
Yes, I'm on Kindle.
Yeah, there we go. You see, Kindle, I do like me, but I like me. You know what I'm like? Much. So I like me book. Yes. I like to get a new book. There's nothing like a new book when you open the pages and you don't want anybody else touch it before you go mad, because you want to be the first one to sort of open the book. That's my bath. But if I'm in bed, I have the Kindle.
Good.
You have to have a bath. You can't put can't take Kindle in the bath with you.
No.
Highly dangerous.
We don't have baths in Billericay.
Is that the title of the new book?
Showers. Showers.
All right, we're going to come back with both the girls in a couple of minutes. Just going to do a quick bit of ads for you. Then we're going to come back with Sylvia and Karen, and we're going to be talking about Sylvia's new book, a 10th book and her last one, so she says. I don't believe her for 1 second. Right, you're listening to Michelle Ward on Phoenix 98 FM, and I'm joined in the studio by guest writer Karen Bowman, and also by regular book club... what would we say, book club
contributor?
That's it, Sylvia Kent. Couldn't get my words out there somewhere. And now back to Sylvia. You got your 10th book out. You said it's going to be your last. Don't believe a word of that. Barking in Dagenham from Old Photographs, which is on sale now. So give it, I know you've been talking about the book over the last couple of months, but give everybody a flavour of the book and why you actually set about writing it as well.
Well, number one, that's where I came from. And it was indulgence, because I was able to go back to the school. Yesterday, I was in the school where I was around about 5, and it was a very strange feeling. And I interviewed people that obviously weren't born then. Yeah. I mean, I'm so old. But it was lovely to touch the wall, and I remember so much.
Is it still the same? It's still kind of, parts of it are still the same as when you were... obviously.
Some. Yeah. This little one in the marshes, it's called Marsh Green School, is fairly near to the Ford Motor Company. So obviously in the book, which is made up of 12 chapters, Ford, of course, had their own very own chapter, as does the Dagenham Girl Pipers, who are still very famous, and the footballers and the schools and the churches. Yesterday, I spent round about, I reckon about 8 hours trolling round in all that wind, dare I say, and I had a lovely time talking to people. I went into pubs, I went into the Working Men's Club, because I've included those too. It's all part of what it was like years ago. The structure is very much changed, but most of the people have. They are from abroad, and a lot of them didn't know what I was talking about. But I had a lovely time yesterday.
But you have got, this is a thing of my friend's parents that grew up in Dagenham.
Yes.
And I went to school in Dagenham, but your generation, and they're the same generation as you, all got very good speaking voices. And I was at school in Dagenham, we all had quite strong, I was from Seven Kings, slightly different, but everybody from Dagenham had strong Cockney accents. But you don't, and neither does my friend's generation. It's very strange.
None of my sisters, 4 sisters, we're all about the same.
Yeah.
I've got very pleasant memories. So I went back to the old rectory library, which is grade 2, so they can't pull that down. But, it's such a shame that those sorts of things made me a bit sad. But no, I had fun yesterday, except I was blown about, hair standing on end, you know. Glad I went. I'm back next week because the Barking Historical Society has its 80th birthday. So I'm going there with a load of books.
Yep.
And hope, most of them have been buying them on the web. But yes, part of it is advertising. As Karen knows, you have to do that. Once you have a book out, you want it sold.
Yep.
And it's coming up to Christmas. So yesterday I was on the site of the old Church Elm pub, which is now a huge library, huge library. And they're going to give me a lovely signing sometime before Christmas with some of the people within the book. So if we can get Billy Bragg down, I'd like that.
Yep.
If we can get Vera Lynn down, I'd like that.
Yep.
But also lots of other people who appear in the book. That'd be nice if they come along and I'll sign a book for them.
Lovely. And how much is the book?
Well, the book sounds a lot of money. It's $14.99, but obviously, you know, if it, you can buy them much cheaper on the web. But also, when we have signings, we knock off a few pounds, so we can do that.
Excellent. And back to you, Karen. We're going to talk about the book Essex Boys as well. When you first, if you're a writer, somebody's a writer out there and they're thinking, I've got a book, but I don't know what to do with it. How did you go about getting your book published and getting it out there? What do you have to do yourself?
Well, actually, Essex Boys was on the back of Essex Girls.
Yeah.
So I'd sort of half written that and I got in touch with the publishers and said, are you interested? They said yes. So I carried on. I didn't get a contract at that point. And then I, you know, people say to me, don't write anything unless you have a contract. And I used to think, no, I just want to write for the love of it. And then the more books you do, you sort of think, no, this is a living, this is what I do. If I don't have any money for it, then I do others a disservice that are trying to get into the industry. So I asked them for a contract, and luckily, as it was on the back of Girls, I got it.
Yeah.
The third book that's going to come out in the spring, I actually got that via the internet. My daughter said, well, these people are looking for something. Sometimes you do get that. They're looking for people to write for them. So I just submitted six ideas by email. It was about 1 o'clock in the morning. I thought, I'll do it. I'll just get the courage and do it. And they got back to me and said, well, we like one or two and would like to commission it. And luckily they did. So I've been pretty lucky, I think.
And tell us about Essex Boys.
Essex Boys, as I say, it comes on the back of Essex Girls. It's the same format, it's the same cover almost, but it's totally different. I found that the old adage of, you know, education is everything, and boys did have it, whether they had it with their fathers or as an apprentice. They were allowed to have an opinion, which women weren't allowed to. And if you have an opinion, then you are taken notice of. And that's why I found that they were sort of different. They obviously had to look after the women who weren't hopeless. They were sort of helpless because women in those days were. The whole society made them that way. But that was also quite a joy to write. Yeah. A couple of them I quite like. We had, I've got a landowners, princes and kings section, and under that is Prince Albert Edward, or Edward the Seventh. And he came to my attention because he had a railway built, a private railway to Eastern Lodge, where his mistress, Daisy Greville, happened to be at the time. Another man was Peter Chamberlain, a medicine man, who I've got under that title, and he invented the forceps, which was quite handy for us. But in those days, they were like big spoons with leather ends on, and he kept it secret. He didn't want anyone to know this development he'd made, so he would always ensure that the lady, if she could pay for it, was blindfolded. He'd work under the sheets, and he'd be in a darkened room. So it kept a secret as much as possible. All sort of things like that are quite good in there.
Because it was very I mean, when you think about, I mean, even if we don't go back that far, we go back to the 60s of how different things were for women in this country.
Exactly.
And you don't even have to go back really that far. Even now in the workplace, women are not paid as much as men in the same roles, and it's still changing. We like to think we've got equality, but we haven't.
No. And one other thing that struck me is obviously we never had control over our own fertility up until recently. And you know, up until the 1860s and the divorce laws, you wouldn't even be able to take your children with you if you divorced your husband.
Yep.
Eventually, they came in that you could take them if they were under 12, and then you could take them completely. And what woman is going to leave her children behind, really? So you tended to stay in a marriage, or you tended to stay in a sort of subjugated state because of that. And now, obviously, in the 60s with the pill and things like that and other contraception, we have a little bit more say in things, I think.
Yeah, definitely. You put your hand up, Sylvia. Yes. So over to Sylvia in the quiet. Sylvia, can you put her hand up?
May I interject? I would say that both Karen and I work for the same company at the moment, Amberley, mm-hmm. Amberley Publishing of yep. Stroud. They're very good, aren't
yes,
they?
Yes, they are. They're very good.
And also that darling Daisy you've just mentioned, she's in my book, but she's a very old woman and she's opening a library, and you can see what happens with beauty over the years. It's a bit of a shock. So she's in my book and also in Karen's yeah. book.
That's what keeps me going, because I think to myself, I look at somebody pretty like Jess. Hello, Jess. Hello. Who's lovely. And I think she's going to get old one day and fall to bits. And it makes me, and it makes us all feel much happier, Jess. You're welcome. I like the way she goes, fine, it's fine, it's fine. Well, thank you very much for coming in today. I will just go through the website. If you want to find out more about Karen and order the books, it's Karen Bowman. It's all the W's, karenbowman.co.uk.
Can I just and, say, the third yep. book is called Corsets and Cod Pieces.
Oh,
and it's
right.
coming out in the spring, and it's 1,000 years of outrageous fashion.
Ooh. Lovely.
Yes, things like crinolines that sparked off shoplifting epidemics, and husbands would write to paper saying, please get rid of this awful fashion, I can't send my wife and daughters out because they're looked on as criminals, they're going to go into a shop and put things under their skirts.
What about the cod pieces?
Why don't they have them yes. now? That's what we'd like to see on Brentwood High Street.
Hmm.
Do you not think?
Wow. Well, you know.
Silver's like, well, no. Move
gone
on
all
from
red.
That.
Could I just say yep. very, very quickly, the Society of Women Writers and Journalists mm-hmm. have pictures up all over the place. Karen was there last week.
Yes, Victoria Wood.
We had Victoria Wood, look at us, Anne Widdecombe, Libby Purvis, Simon Brett, Shirley Williams, our lovely Shirley Williams. It was wonderful.
It was wonderful.
Yeah. Worked like, you know, crazy to get it done. And St. Bride's Church and the livery company, stationers, it was wonderful. Wish you could have come.
It was, if you want to check that out, it's all the W, sylviakent.blogspot.co.uk. Yes. And there's a lovely picture of President Victoria Wood and members Pamela Payne and Patrick Forsyth yes. in the background. And doing a little bit of what's they call it, a selfie, but he's in the back.
Yeah, if you had Patrick a few months ago.
Yes, he's doing a little bit of a photo bomb, they call that.
He's
when
always
they
there.
In the background. But do check it out. As I said, Sylvia always keeps a great blog up to date, and you'll find out loads more about Sylvia and lots of about her books as well. And there's pictures of Lulu and all sorts of people on there, aren't there?
Thank you.
Friends. Right, 11:58. Don't forget, if you missed the beginning bit of the interview, it will be up on the website. And if you missed last month's chat that I had with Sylvia with, I've forgotten the lady's name.
Mary Kenyon.
Mary Kenyon, who was absolutely brilliant. I am going to be getting that interview up. I had a slight technical problem last month. I wasn't able to get the interview up, but I will be doing it in the next couple of days, and it's very interesting. She was the Enigma.
Well, Graham Greene's assistant.
Yes. And she was just absolutely phenomenal, 94 years old, sharp as a button, and it was talking about the Enigma machine
yes.
Where she worked and just yes. loads. It was very, yes. very interesting. Really lovely
and
lady.
What a beautiful